You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Yo. Hello. Kia ora. Okay, how are you? Sorry, I should proceed this. We've got Andrew here in the studio with us today. How are you going today?
I'm great, thanks.
Yeah, that's awesome. This is my first time being the host of Audio Culture, so this is very exciting for me. I'm very excited to hear about your story that you're telling us about Sons in Jeopardy, which is an older band that you used to be a part of.
A well-retired band.
Yeah, so to say. Yeah, well, do you want to get started?
Yeah, so we started back in the early 80s, about 82, 83, and the band was a four-piece. The leader was Paul Cairns, who came from one of the North Shore colleges and had hung around with the Screaming Memes and people like that.
Mm.
And he decided he wanted to set up a band, so he caught up with a couple of other people and a drummer called Paul as well, Paul Meisher, and Wayne Flintham, who was the bass player, and we... another guy was Sean Pettigrew, who was a local photographer who went on to create the movie about Killing Joke called The Death and Resurrection Show, which travelled the world and sold Killing Joke to a lot of people.
Very cool.
So it was quite a small band, and then Sean left for various reasons, and I was standing in a bar one night and got asked, can you play keyboards? And I went, I guess so.
Could you play keyboards?
Not really. But so... I said yes, and I thought, I'll go and do that, see what it's like. And this started the journey for me, and it was quite interesting.
That's epic. How long was this band going for?
We went for about three years, roughly.
Yeah.
We sort of played all the local clubs and bands, band venues and things like that. We played Sweetwaters and a number of other sort of big events. And, it was neat. It was quite different being in a band back then. There wasn't any internet to promote yourself with. You'd have to go on poster runs and stick posters all over the city.
Yeah, it probably takes a lot more. You have to be a lot more active in the community and like getting to know the right people and being in the right places and different venues and all sorts of things.
Yeah, and having been at BFM myself, it was quite a good door to meet people and, you know, pathway to get gigs and stuff like that. And when we got ourselves a manager and got big time and recorded a couple of singles and stuff like that, so it got quite neat.
What were some of the highlights of that for you?
One of the big highlights was we did a music video for one of our singles, and we did it at Woodhill State Forest over a couple of nights.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a budget from the government to, you know, a grant thing that they do.
Oh, cool.
And we had the National Film Unit for both nights, and these huge trucks and lights. And the director was a guy called Andy Shaw, who did a TV show called Here's Andy at the time.
Yeah.
And Here's Andy was like a big success, and he wanted to become a director, so we were one of his first projects. And it was beautiful. Like, the pine forest at night is all orange from the pine needles, and the lights were really warm. It looked beautiful. And then when the video came out, they stripped all the colour out of it and made it like this film
for
noir
real
thing. And it kind of just took all the beauty out of it. So it
was it supposed to be like an artistic choice that they'd made there?
Yeah, it was his artistic choice, not so much ours. And there was, they'd hired old cars and costumes that were like...
That's a fancy one. Sorry, I'll turn that down.
Some 1940s spy epic. And they got the girl. They promised us this beautiful model, and it ended up some girl from the office. And it was like all these big promises, and when it came out, it was quite a disappointment.
Oh, that's a shame. Is the video still, like, can you see the video?
I don't think that one survived.
Oh.
There's one that we did for the same song for a kids show called Shazam, which is on YouTube. And that was amazing. It was like in this Shortland Street Studios before they got turned into Gus Fisher Gallery.
Mm.
And there were like 30 10-year-olds dancing to us, and the place was all blacked out and lots of smoke. And the show was hosted by a guy called Philip Schofield, who is now huge in English television.
Yeah.
And, he was quite bizarre. It was very weird experience. He told us this dirty joke, and he was like the nicest, cleanest person you ever heard, and his dirty joke was that someone fell in the poo. And we were just like, oh my God, you know, we were all these staunch rock guys, and he was quite the opposite. So, but that was a really neat experience. Like, the video was just great, and the kids were, you know, super into it, so it was quite funny.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, this is such an interesting... It's so cool to hear about bands and things happening, like, way before the internet and everything. Not way before. Oh, my gosh, that's a dramatic... But, you know, like...
Well, it was way before
the internet. Yeah, like, there's a lot of difference to how it would be now, like, with the logistics of a band and, like, promoting yourself and meeting the right people or different people or, you know, getting yourself out there. So it's quite interesting to hear about that.
Yeah, and one of the band members who joined after I did was a guy called Adam Holt, who you might have heard about through the audio culture stuff.
Yeah.
He went on to become a record company guy, and he was head of Universal Music New Zealand.
Oh yeah.
He recently retired, but he was the person who brought you Lord, and the Dance Exponents, and a whole bunch of people like that. Big New Zealand acts that went on overseas. I think OMC, maybe he worked with Simon on that. But yeah, Adam went on to really push the New Zealand music industry along, and a lot of people wouldn't be where they are today without Adam.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Back then he was a guitarist with great hair.
Yeah, they all were. I was looking at some of the photos, they look pretty impressive.
Yeah, we had big hair, and I think that didn't really work out that well for us, because a lot of people, especially the Flying Nun crowd, thought that we were just too glam and too beautiful, and we should have been standing at our guitars, staring at our toes and things like that.
Yeah, sure, something like that.
They felt that about anyone that wasn't a Flying Nun band back in those days.
So, yeah. Yeah, hard. Do you keep up with the music much now?
Yeah, I like listening to new music. I don't... I've got a lot of old music that I listen to in the quiet moments, but it's the new stuff that really excites me, young bands and things like that. So
yeah. Any gigs you've been to recently?
No. No, I've been quite busy with work and stuff, so I don't get to go out a lot.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, I still like going to venues. I found once they stopped smoking in venues, you could smell people a lot more, and that wasn't quite as attractive as it used to be back in the old days.
Oh, do you prefer the smell of smoke in venues?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People don't smell that good.
You got to go to Berlin then. That's where, yeah, they, yeah. Oh my gosh, I went there, like,
there.
Yeah, yeah, no, like in, I mean, in pubs and stuff anyway, like it's so normal.
Yeah, no, it's horrible to come home in the morning and you smell of cigarettes, but people don't smell good on mass. Especially young boys.
Surely, yeah, okay. Well, maybe the call out is to get some, like, deodorant or get some hygienic habits in the music culture, in the community.
Yeah, free deodorant at the door.
Oh, yeah, exactly, with the earbuds.
But it was amazing. The first night when it switched from smoking to non-smoking in clubs and pubs.
Oh, when was that?
Oh, back in the 90s, I think.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It was dramatic that... the things you'd never smelt before. You know, you're standing in a crowd and someone farts and things like that. And you never noticed that before because it was just
cigarette smell. They just hide it with the cigarette smell.
So,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, the more you know. Is there anything else you wanted to share today?
No, I think I'm just about done.
Yeah, right on. That's a very interesting story. Thank you so much for coming up and sharing. We'll just head straight on. That was Audio Culture. I don't know if they do like any special outro things. I'm just gonna let it play. I have this other song by Cabaret Voltaire. I'm gonna put that afterwards. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sweet.
That was Audio Culture on 95 BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just